Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard with you here for the next half hour to take a look at to the sporting action this weekend and beyond coming up tonight. After a draw and a defeat so far, FC Alavan return home in the NWCFL Premier Division this weekend, hoping to secure their first win of the 25-26 season. A stellar turnout is expected for this weekend's Alavan Marathon and Half Marathon races in Ramsey. The Isle of Man will be represented in billiard sports at the World Games being held in China, and we hear from Vagabonds Rugby Club as they prepare for their new season. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. First tonight, after a draw and a defeat to start the new NWCFL Premier Division season, FC Isle of Man will be hoping to get their first victory on the board on home turf this weekend. The Ravens will host Glossop North End at the Bowl tomorrow night. Like the Island side, the visitors are also looking for their first 3 points in these very early stages. Well, 10 days on from the Manx squad's last outing, their manager Paul Jones sat down with us to look ahead to his team's latest test this weekend. He also indicated that given the changes his squad has gone through over the summer, people may just need to be patient with his players as they look to unlock their full potential.
Firstly, I don't think anything that's happened in the first two games is a surprise to us. We knew where we were at going into the start of the season. We knew there were areas that we would be okay in, and we also knew there was stuff that we needed to work on, which is especially when we had the ball, because we didn't have much of the ball pre-season in our games, and knew that it might take a few games at least in order to get that kind of like rhythm and cohesion as an attacking force. And I think anyone who watched both of our first two games would recognise that is something that we need to improve at and continue to improve at. And obviously that has been a focus for us since FC St Helens. But Litherland, we saw a really good, strong performance without the ball, but kind of just missed a goal. And FC St Helens, I think, we could have really, scored a goal or two before they scored. Could have gone back level by the time half time came around. And then, second half, we kind of ran out of steam a little bit, even though they were down to 10 men. The pitch was bobbly and hard to play on. And we probably didn't deserve anything out of that game on the balance. So, we're bedding in new players. We're bedding in the group. It's a different group and a different feel, to what it was last season, and it will take a little bit of time. But we've had a really good week's training, and I think everyone's really keen to put in a good performance against Glossop on Saturday.
Just off that point of the newer faces, which we've discussed already going into the season, how difficult is it to find that balance between, as you've alluded to, making sure there's a bit of patience, that they're given time to settle in, but understanding that there are still games week to week, sometimes more than once a week, that they have to find that level?
I think it's really difficult to be perfectly honest. I think we can expect more of the players that have been around, and we have to lean on them a little bit more, and maybe there's a little bit more pressure put on their shoulders in order to really drive the group forwards. And then the new players should take their lead. Like, if we're expecting the new players to come in and be the ones that are pulling us forward, then I think that's asking a bit too much of them. And we know from experience that the newer players in the group can have a really good start and be really good for a game or two or three. And then, like, I know a couple of them who travelled away on Tuesday night, having been involved Saturday, Tuesday, like, they've still not properly recovered a week later, because it is just a huge ask and a huge commitment. And it does take a little bit of time to get used to it. So we're kind of expecting some of them to start quick and show really good promise. And then maybe they might kind of plateau or have a little bit of a lull for a few weeks while their bodies and minds are adapt, and then they'll be able to go again. And we're just giving them examples of like Adam Adebay and Luke Booth, and some of the players who came new into the group last year who started really well and then had a bit of a lull and then went up well again towards the end of the season and have started this pre-season absolutely flying. So it takes time for people to adapt, but as you quite rightly say, we need to be getting points on the board as well. So there's no magic answer to that. It's just me as a manager trying to find an 11 12 13 players that have really good cohesion, really good balance, really good chemistry on the pitch. And we've not quite got there yet, but that's part of our challenge over the next few weeks to really start to gel, and then we can kind of kick on from there.
By the time Saturday rolls around, it'll have been 10 days since you previous game, that 2-0 defeat away at FC St Helens. So the fact that there is a 10-day gap between games, how beneficial or not in some cases has that been?
In this particular instance, it's been very beneficial because we knew we were short on work in possession, especially, you know, in our pre-season game programme. So it's allowed us to work hard on that. You know, we've done three sessions and the fourth one on Thursday night that really kind of focused on us being better with the ball whilst not losing our discipline defensively. So it's been really helpful. You know, I think once you get into the season, one of the maybe downsides we have is we're maybe not playing as consistently at times as some of the other teams. So early season, every other team are playing Saturday, Tuesday, and it really, you know, games come around quick, so you can't think about what happened in the last game too quickly, too much, and you just, you know, start just getting into a flow. And so it'll be good once we have week-to-week games and Saturday, Tuesday games, because you just get into a flow and get in a way of going, and you don't overthink things, and you just go and perform game to game, and that can be really good. But in this instance, it's definitely allowed us to work on some of the things that we know we need to improve at.
Your opponents this weekend, Glossop North End, won at the Bowl when you two faced off here on Ireland last season. So are there any particular lessons you took from that game or the way they played?
Yeah, they played, pressed us really high. One of the only teams to do that really to us last season. And although we created some really good opportunity, I think Jack Kamada missed the penalty in that game in the first half and then went off with an ankle injury. But I think they beat us in the end. But they played really high press, which was really interesting, and we hadn't quite played against a team like that before. So we're better prepared for that, I think, if they do that again. And when we played them away from home, they certainly didn't do that, and we ended up beating them away from home in kind of the last couple of minutes. But Broads has them really well organised, and they're a really kind of like front-footed, kind of aggressive sort of team. So I'm sure they'll bring that again on Saturday. And, you know, I think FC St Helens knocked them out of the FA Cup on Tuesday night in a replay. So they'll be like coming really, really trying to get back to winning ways.
And just finally, looking forward to not just this weekend, but going forward again. And you did touch on it before about this is that intense time of the season where quite often you are playing Saturday, Tuesday, and so on. How much of a boost do you think it could be to the squad if you got a result this weekend to take you into what is an intense and, as you've said before, quite a tiring time of the season?
Yeah, I think, you know, every time you win, it gives people a boost and gives everybody a boost, doesn't it? And, you know, as much as we can be really positive in-house about the way we're going and how we're going to be playing this year and the players that we've got in the team, you know, you're judged on where you're on the league and how many points you've got. And, you know, so winning games is important for everybody. It is important, you know, so we'll be doing everything we can to get the first 3 points in the bag. And this Saturday is a great opportunity to do that.
That's FC Alabama manager Paul Jones ahead of his team's NWCFL Premier Division clash with Glossop North End at the Bowl in Douglas tomorrow night. FC Alabama team news has also been confirmed ahead of the clash. So the FC Alabama squad, Paul Jones makes just one change from his side, which lost out against FC St Helens in their previous game back on the 29th of July. And that sees Sam Corkill coming to the squad in place of Adam Karouche. Outside of those who are selected, the likes of Michael Williams, Jacob Crook and Sam Baines are all continuing to recover from separate injuries. So the FC Alaman squad to face Glossop North End is as follows. It is Adam Killier, Adam Adebayi, Luke Booth, Jamie Cadwallader, Josh Kane, Sam Corkill, Ellis Dunn, Danny Gerrard, Charlie Higgins, Callum Hudgen, Alex Maitland, Dean Pinnington, Callum Sherry, Carl Watson, Steve Whitley and Ben Wasser. FC Alabama versus Glossop North End at the Bowl in Douglas kickoff at 6 p.m. tomorrow night. And of course, wherever you are, we at Manx Radio have got you covered if you're not heading down to the Bowl in person. Myself and Tony Meppen bringing you full live match commentary of that match from 6 p.m. tomorrow night on Manx Radio's AM 1368 and DAB channels.
Manx Radio Sport.
Now, this weekend will mark the start of what is one of the most intense weeks in the Isle of Man athletics calendar. A stellar turnout is expected on Sunday for the Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon races in Ramsey, which start on the day from 8:30 a.m. What's more, Sunday's meeting is also the opening round of this year's No Rest for the Wicked series, which features 6 races in 6 days across a variety of distances, disciplines and locations. Well, to look ahead at what promises to be a packed set of races this weekend, as well as a busy series as a whole over the next week. I've been chatting with local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths.
Well, this is the annual No Rest for the Wicked series, which is quite a historic event. It dates back probably to the 1980s or 1990s, formerly the Isle of Man Roadrunning Grand Prix, but it was kind of rebranded probably about 12, 13 years ago or something like that. So it's a series quite literally of six races in 6 days. So there quite literally is no rest for anybody, either the runners or the officials. All the races are slightly different, and it starts on Sunday down at Ramsey in the north of the island with the Isle of Man Marathon Championship, which has got 127 entries, which I think is well up on last year. But the supporting half marathon race is the really popular one, and we've had an incredible entry of 517 for that. The entries are closed now, but that kicks off. The marathon starts at 8:30 on Sunday morning, with the half marathon starting half an hour later at 9 o'clock. Then on Monday, we have the first of 5 evening races, all of which start at 7 p.m. So on Monday evening, we have the Peel Hill race, which is organised by Western AC. Then on Tuesday, we go back up to Ramsey for a 10k road race. And then on Wednesday, we have the Manx Fell Runners organise the Killer Mile, which, as the name suggests, is by far the shortest of the races, but it's quite tough. And that's effectively a time trial with competitors starting, I think it's at minute intervals, 5 competitors at a time. And then on Thursday, Manx Harriers host the Foxdale 5, starting and finishing at Foxdale School. And that is a measured five mile road race. And then the series concludes on Friday back in the west of the island with the Peel Heritage Trail Race, which is around about 7 miles.
Let's start then with the first event, the marathon and half marathon events, starting and finishing in the Ramsey area. And you said there, hundreds of entries in and around record territory. What's making these two events, or the first round of the series, so popular, do you think, this year?
Well, I think it's generally that distance running is incredibly popular. We saw the entries last year in the Sig Work, where they sold out within 24 hours, and I think this is just a continuation of that. I think the great thing about the Ramsey event is that it really attracts a lot of visiting runners, and I'm not just talking about from around Great Britain. I'm talking about worldwide. We've literally got entries from many, many European countries. We've got entries from Australia, I think New Zealand, America, Mexico. I think, you know, you think of a country, and we've virtually got an entry from that. And one of the exciting things is that in the marathon, we have an entry from Richard Whitehead, who is a Great Britain Paralympian who has won European, World and Olympic gold medals on the track, mainly in the shorter distances, like 200 metres. But he's recently started doing marathons. He's basically a blade runner, so he's a double amputee. And he ran a marathon on blades last year at the age of 48, I think, in 2 hours 41. So he's extremely useful. So it'll be really interesting to see how he goes. In the half marathon, as I say, we have 517 entries. Last year, we had a record number of finishes of 386. Now, the winner last year is Corin Leeming, who, of course, won an Ireland Games gold medal. Now, although Corin's entered this year, he won't actually be competing on Sunday because he's decided to do a BMC British Milers Club track race in Manchester on Saturday, just really to gain more experience of racing on the track at a high level. He may be doing one or two races during the week, but he won't be doing the full series. So having won the last four, it'll give someone else a chance this year. But one of the interesting things is that with Corin not running in the half marathon, one person who definitely is running is Krista Kane, who also won an Island Game, or 3 Island Games gold medals, in fact. And looking at the entry list, although we've got massive numbers, I'm not quite sure what the top end quality is. So, you know, the question is, how high up the rankings can Krista actually get overall in the race? The highest ranking female that we've ever had in the history of the race was just 2 years ago, when Gemma Aston finished 5th. And I think Krista, you know, could well match that, and maybe even go a little bit better. So that'll be one to look out for on Sunday.
And looking ahead to the rest of the week, and you've already given us an overview of the, not just how many events there are, but also the variety in the events as well. When you try and compare the likes of the half marathon to the Foxdale 5 to the Killer Mile, there seems to be something in there for all different abilities. Do you think that is what makes this event attractive to athletes, is the fact that it could cater to different strengths?
Yeah, very much so. I think, you know, I mean, 6 races in 6 days, I think, appeals to many people anyway, just for the challenge of that. But I think the added attraction of this is the fact that the races are all so different. I mean, you start off on the first day, you know, I mean, some people will be running a marathon, and then 3 days later, they'll be running just under a mile, you know, sort of running uphill. They're all totally different. You know, the Foxdale course is undulating. That's quite challenging. The Heritage Trail is reasonably flat, but it's obviously all on grass, you know, and it's a little bit longer. That one's 7 miles. Peel Hill race is short and sharp, you know, it's quite a steep climb up the front of the hill. So they're all different. You know, doing the Peel Hill race the day after running a marathon or a half marathon is obviously challenging in itself. Sorts out who's recovered the best from the Sunday races. So yeah, it's just every day is a challenge.
The half marathon and marathon events that will kick off the series, entries are already closed for those two events, but are entries open and still available for any other events throughout the series next week?
They are. Entries are available on the day for the majority of the races. However, entries do close on Sunday for the Northern AC Ramsey 10K, which is Tuesday, and for the Manx Fell Runners Killer Mile on Wednesday. So Sunday is the closing date for those. So go on the websites or the Facebook pages of the organising clubs, and that will give you links to the entries. The other three events, as far as I'm aware, the Peel Hill race on Monday, the Foxdale 5 on Thursday, and the Heritage Trail race at Peel on Friday, as far as I'm aware, those are entry on the day. And we should add that those who have already entered the No Rest for the Wicked series are already pre-entered, so they don't have to enter.
That's local athletics correspondent Dave Griffiths ahead of the Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon Championships taking place in Ramsey this Sunday and form the first round of the 2025 No Rest for the Wicked series. Way over 700 participants signed up to take part across both the marathon and half marathon disciplines. Just a reminder as well that entries for this weekend's Isle of Man Marathon and Half Marathon events are already closed. So if you were considering a last minute entry, I'm afraid you're out of time already. Entries for those are closed. The marathon will start in Ramsey on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. That'll be followed shortly after by the half marathon at 9 a.m, taking on what's known as the Manx Northern Course as well. So the marathon will involve two laps of that and the half marathon just the one. All of next week's races, as we've just been hearing from Dave, and if you missed it a moment ago as well, from Monday through to Friday, they will all take place in the evening and are all each due to start at 7 p.m. Just a reminder of what those are. So going into next week, the second round of the No Rest for the Wicked series on Monday the 11th of August. That is the Peel Hill race organised by Western AC. Tuesday the 12th of August, the following round Northern 10K road race organised by Northern AC. Wednesday the 13th of August is the Killer Mile organised by Manx Fell Runners. The penultimate event on Thursday the 14th of August, that is the Anna Maria Cotillo Foxdale 5 mile road race. That's being organised by Manx Harriers. And then the No Rest for the Wicked series comes to a conclusion on Friday the 15th of August with the Peel Trail race that is organised by Western AC.
Manx Radio Sport.
Moving on, and for what's believed to be the first time, the Isle of Man will have an athlete taking part in the World Games. First launched in 1981 in Santa Clara in the USA, the World Games is a multi-sport event for sports and disciplines that are not in the programme of the Olympic Games. Taking place every 4 years, the World Games, in its words, aspires to equal and exceed the importance of world championships for the represented sports and disciplines. And in 2025, Manx snooker player Daryl Hill has been selected to represent Great Britain in the billiard sports competition at the Games being held in Chengdu in China. And what's more, Hill's told Manx Radio that it feels like a privilege to have been selected.
I mean, it could well be a one-off, really. So the World Games is... I find it's an event not many people have actually heard of, mainly because I think of the coverage, maybe, but it's actually like more or less second to the Olympic Games. So it's the equivalent of the Olympics every 4 years, but for every discipline not in the Olympic Games already. So, of course, billiard sports, as it's termed, is in it with the likes of pool and carom and different variations of cue sports, and alongside a whole host of other multi-sport. So it's, yeah, really exciting opportunity, one that really wasn't on my radar, to be honest. Last year, I hadn't heard much about it, read much about it, and then had some good notable results last year on a personal level in world amateur stuff. And from that, that's led to obviously me getting the call for this. So it was a really nice bonus, really, you know, not on my radar at all.
You're no stranger to competing internationally, if you like, in snooker, but the fact that, like you say, it's a first foray for you into what is a high quality event, how proud does it make, not just you personally, but knowing that the Isle of Man is represented at an event of this stature?
Well, yeah, really good, really good. Because, I mean, I've obviously been liaising with Ironman Sport quite a bit between them and Team GB, who I'm effectively representing and playing under as well. And, you know, from what all they can see, I'll be the first athlete, if you like, in any discipline to represent the island in the World Games. So that's quite an honour. Quite exciting as well, really, too. Because to be honest, for my playing now with being on the professional circuit and then coming off a bit and just picking the world and European amateur events that I want to play in, you know, there aren't a lot of first experiences, if you like, I think, that I've got left. So for this to come up and to carry the torch, if you like, for the Isle of Man in the World Games is a real privilege, really. So I'm just, you know, going to try and just enjoy every minute of it, really, you know, and just enjoy being around that environment and being around the other athletes from the other sports. And yeah, so really excited to get going in that.
Manx Radio Sport. That is Isle of Man snooker player Daryl Hill ahead of his campaign at the 2025 World Games taking place in Chengdu in China. Well, the Games officially began on Thursday this week, but the billiard sports tournaments, which Daryl Hill will be involved in, they are due to start on Sunday and then running through to the 14th of August. So getting underway on Sunday in just under 2 days' time. And of course, it's a quick turnaround for Daryl Hill, who's been part of Team Isle of Man at the 2025 Home Internationals this week, taking place in Leeds. Essentially, this sees the Isle of Man fielding teams, men's and masters teams in the snooker, and for the first time a billiards team as well, coming up against the likes of home nations such as England, Wales, Scotland, Republic of Ireland and more as well, with the billiards team currently in action at the moment. Well, another of the Isle of Man's rugby teams is getting ready for their latest campaign, and that is Vagabonds. They endured a tough season in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire last season, having previously been in the league below. That league was merged with Counties 3 for the last campaign. And what's more, the Douglas-based club will have Manx company in the division in 25-26, as Ramsey are rejoining the leagues for the first time in 5 years. Well, I've been speaking with Vagabonds head coach Franzi Gamishes and player Daniel Bonwick about what they learned from last season and when they're looking forward to this time around.
One that stepped up last season has really grown into their role over the season. Like, we've had some really standout young lads that have come in, really stepped forward and made themselves part of that unit that we have, made them join the core of the squad. They've all stepped up at pre-season this year. We're not going into so much of an unknown again. It's more of a, we know who we're going to, we know this is how they play, so hopefully we can come into the season a lot stronger and not worry about what we're going to and step forward and enjoy the challenge.
Speaking of the challenge, Franzi, coming back to you there. Last season, of course, it, for those who don't know, it was effectively a merger of two leagues. Counties 4 ADM, which Vagabonds were operating in, were conjoined, if you like, with Counties 3 ADM, given the number of teams that were available. So you were effectively pushed up a league. So how did you all find adjusting to last season, given the quality of teams you were coming up against?
It was very tough. Because, as you know, the previous season we came third, which for us was a very, very good achievement. And for the development of the squad, it probably would have been good to play in a similar kind of league rather than going up. But the toughness of the league showed, because there was about three teams that pulled out through the first sort of month or two of the season. But we really stuck with it, you know, and the senior players like Daniel and Rocky and other players really helped develop the young boys to come through. And sometimes traveling, if you've got three games on the trot that you have to go with, it makes it really hard. But that sort of hunger, having younger guys in the squad, really helped us. And like Bommy just said before, this year it's not the complete unknown for us where we're stepping in. I mean, we went to places last year that I've never even known existed. Absolutely beautiful places and great clubs to go to. But, you know, it's a new season. If you've got a little bit of the known in your squad, it actually makes the season a bit easier. So we're really looking forward to, you know, having some knowledge on some of these teams already.
And Daniel, similar question to you. From a player's perspective, whether it's you personally or the squad as a whole, what are the biggest lessons that you can take coming up against that level of opposition? Like we just heard Franzi saying there were a few that seemed to break away quite early. But when you're coming up against teams of that standard, what are the biggest things you take from games against them?
You can always learn from that. You always learn, see what players are doing, look at your opposite man. You obviously pick up a lot of sort of traits from what they do. But you've always got to push yourself and you've always got to prepare to take on the best. Like, if you're not challenging yourself to push and go against those teams, then there ain't really much you're going to take out from the game. There's no point going to a team knowing that you're going to batter them week in, week out. There's no fun in that for me. I enjoy the competition. So to go against the stronger teams, it's always more enjoyable.
So Francie, looking to this coming season, with the changes yet again, I suppose, in the league, one with a very Manx twist, we'll get to that in a moment, but from your side of things, what would you like to see the squad and club as a whole building on?
So our first and most important thing for this season is to improve on our standing in the league. So we always look at our performance. You can only be as good as your last game. However, if you've got the first part of the season up until, say, November, December time, you've got a good indication of you've played a good lot of teams already. Where are you in the league at that time and stage, and then reassess and try and push harder. And with a blend of players, like I said, young and old in the squad, hopefully we can get a few of the other golden oldies back to spread their knowledge as well. But with that in mind, we're so looking forward to this season in getting better and fitter and stronger as an individual, because even though it's a team sport, if you don't pull your own weight, like go to the gym in the morning, go for a cycle, go for a swim, you're not going to actually help your team. So it's pushing not just yourself, but by pushing yourself, you push the team up a little bit too.
And Daniel, when I mentioned a Manx twist before as well, of course, there is going to be a bit of change this season because you're going to be joined by Ramsey in the league this year as well. They're returning to the English leagues for the first time in 5 years as well. So how exciting a prospect is that in your league season, you'll be coming up against some familiar faces?
I love that. I can't wait for the Manx derby. It's familiar faces. You almost know what they're going to bring to the table. They're all a great bunch of lads, so we know we're in for a physical game when we go up to Ramsey in the league. So obviously I've come from there before in my previous years of playing, know what they're all about, know that they're going to turn up and give us a really good game of rugby. So I can't wait for that. Really looking forward to it.
Francie, coming up, again, a little bit off what you've been talking about, particularly with the younger players, how encouraging is it from your perspective that there are still younger people on the island, given it's a much smaller pool that you might see in the likes of Lancashire, Cumbria, Merseyside, etc.? There are those coming through into the sport and are joining the likes of Vagabonds to further themselves and further the club.
Yes, we always make a joke and say you got to go to the dark places together. We bleed and sweat together, but then you enjoy the win a lot more. And what I really like of the younger generation that's coming through, also their dads come up, and it's something when I look at the sideline and I see somebody's father watching him, it takes me back to when I was a kid and when I was an adult as well. You know, when you play and there's family supporting you, being a family and a community club, for us it's really important that young players come through. And it's not just to improve ourselves, but it's looking at Manx rugby.
And that's Vagabonds head coach Francie Gamishes and player Daniel Bonwick ahead of Vagabonds new season in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire. That gets underway on Saturday the 6th of September with an away trip to Burnley. And that Manx derby game that we were mentioning, Ramsey now joining that same division at Murrogue Park in Ramsey, Saturday the 29th of November. So still some time away, but some Manx derby action in Counties 3 ADM Lancashire Cheshire coming this season. Well, that's about all we have time for on Friday Sport Preview this week. Many thanks to my guests this week, as always. If you want to catch up on any of the latest sports news as well, head on over to the Manx Radio Sports Hub at manxradio.com, and you can catch up on all that has been said in tonight's show. If you've missed it, it will be available as a podcast shortly after the show comes to its conclusion. Well, all that's left for me to say to you is have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, whatever you're doing, and have yourself a wonderful weekend as well. But from us here, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.